Oh, yeah, man. These guys leading us really, really well this morning. Well, hey, again, it's great to have you with us here this morning. In case you haven't figured it out, today has a lot to do with water. All right, we've got it going on all around us. Yes, water is going to happen, and whether you planned it or not, you may make the decision to get baptized today. You may, yes, today. Or as you've heard it before, well, why have you not been baptized? Maybe you've heard that before, that line. Listen, that's an American classic movie right there, right? In fact, if you haven't heard that line, you're not an American. You really aren't. All right? If you've not heard somebody say, why have you not been baptized? Anybody know what movie that's from? Anybody? Nacho Libre, yes.
I'm a little concerned right now about your salvation and stuff. How come you have not been baptized?
Because I never got around to it, okay? I don't know why you always have to be judging me. Because I only believe in science.
But tonight, we are going up against Satan's cavemen. And I just thought it would be a good idea if you... Felicidades.
Oh, man, yeah, now there you go. If you officially haven't seen that, now you're an American, all right? There you go. Hey, let's pray. God, thank you for this moment right now. God, I believe you're going to do something profound in this moment. You've already been doing some profound things this morning. I believe you are already laying the groundwork. You're already kind of preparing us in our hearts for this spiritually significant crossover moment today, when many of us are going to cross over from being about ourselves to saying, God, I want to be more and more about you. And so, God, I just pray that you would help me to represent you well, help my words to be in alignment with your heart, God, and I just pray that it would be helpful today. I pray these things according to your identity, your character, the character of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, today, as I said, is officially kind of the end of the Brave Journey series. It's not the end of the journey. That's going to continue on for all of us. But I tell you what, as I get to the end of things like this, specifically this journey, I think back on my life, and if you're at all like me, you have probably some regrets in your life. And so if you're at all like me, I think back to some of the regrets I have in my life, and they all tend to be around things where I didn't exhibit bravery. All right. I mean, I tend to not get really hung up on all the stupid things I've done. I mean, listen, my list of stupidness is long. All right. It is very long. But even though I've done stupid things, those things don't really cause me to lie awake at night. What causes me to lie awake at night is when I know I could do something and I wasn't brave enough to do it. I'm still haunted by the fact that when I was in like the fifth, sixth grade, I remember growing up, my family had just moved to Battle Creek, Michigan, and I was making some new friends in the neighborhood, a whole bunch of boys on our street, and we'd be out in the sand lot playing baseball and football, and there's this one kid, his name was Raymond, and he was always picked on. And I remember for the very first week I was there thinking, man, this is not right. Somebody needs to step up. Some of these kids were older than me. Somebody needs to step in and stop this. I mean, he would always leave bloodied, crying, going home because somebody made fun of him. And I don't know what would have happened had I stepped in. I don't know if I would have got beat up. But it haunts me. It haunts me still to this day that I did not exhibit bravery in that moment and defend him when he couldn't defend himself. When I think over the last 9 years here at Crosspoint, there's been times when maybe I could see something going, you know, in the wrong direction in an area here at Crosspoint, or somebody was really an unhealthy influence, and I wasn't brave enough to nip it in the bud sooner. And I tell you what, those are things that really, really get me. All right, I mean, you know, those are things that wake me up at night, and they haunt me. I mean, I think about them. I lie awake and think about them. And here's the cool thing. Here's the really cool thing as I think about this. There's nothing I've ever done that's really, really brave that I ever regretted. Not a single one. I mean, not a single thing. I mean, even if I stepped out into the water and did something and it didn't go exactly the way I hoped, or even if I stepped in the water and then I lost faith and I ended up getting wet like Peter did, I mean, even if it was like an aggressive mistake, I don't regret those at all. And so, you know, those things don't haunt me at all. I always look back fondly at those moments when I was brave. So, you know, some of us today, you're here today, and man, we're excited you're here, and you're like, man, it's Thanksgiving weekend, right? Weekend before Thanksgiving, we should be thankful, need to get in church, and, you know, kind of just connect and let God build into me a little bit. Whatever your reason for being here today, we're excited you're here. You're probably hoping for a really good service, but some of you are going to do something today that you've never done before. You're going to get baptized. All right, you're going to, yeah, hopefully I can let that go. All right, you're going to get baptized. All right, it's going to happen. And the reason, if you're really honest with yourself, maybe you didn't come prepared to do this today, but if you're really honest with yourself, the reason, hopefully you see this by the end of our time, the reason that you haven't got baptized is because you haven't been brave enough. You haven't been brave enough. And you know, you may regret that over time. And you may be missing out on something God wants to do as you step into obedience and follow what he's asked you to do. And that may be a gateway that opens up whole new things in your life. See, here's the thing. Every great person in the New Testament since the life of Jesus, every single one of them has been baptized. Every single one of them. I mean, they come into faith in Jesus, and then he says, believe and be baptized, and then they're baptized. Right? There's no exceptions. I mean, it's the regular ongoing thing. It's like a gateway of God using them in increased ways. In fact, let me give you kind of one of my more favorite storylines this morning that comes to us from the book of Acts. This is Acts chapter 8. Here's what happens. It says, and he rose and he went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah. So we have an Ethiopian eunuch right here. And most of us know what an Ethiopian is, right? We still have Ethiopians in our world today. And this, though, is an Ethiopian eunuch. And if you don't know what a eunuch is, this is a man who doesn't have any testicles. All right, you might call a man like this today ballless. All right, that's what you might call it. All right, and so, you know, and you might call somebody that as a term of saying, well, you know, you're not exhibiting bravery in your life, or you seem to not be like operating manly, you know, you're not exhibiting bravery in what you're doing. But see, this was not the case with this Ethiopian eunuch. All right, he was a very brave individual. In fact, this eunuch had a major amount of power. All right, this Ethiopian eunuch, he had some serious chutzpah. He really did. He was serving in the court of the queen of Ethiopia. And in the ancient world, you would climb through the regime. You would kind of climb up the hierarchy in your serving, and you would get a lot of power. And so, you know, you would get to a place where your power had become so significant, so great, eventually the king or queen would ask you, they would say, hey, do you want to keep climbing in my regime, in my hierarchy? And if the answer was yes, and you were a male, then you had to get castrated. Well, why was this a requirement? Well, see, the reason they did this was because this is a way they kept down coups at that time. See, you couldn't become the king or the queen or lead a revolt if everyone knew that you had no way to continue on your lineage after you. See, if you didn't have the ability to create princes and princesses and have somebody come behind you to lead behind you, there was like no gravitas to your being. And so, you know, to undergo this was actually an act of bravery. It was a way of serving somebody. It was a way of saying, hey, I have a huge level of power in my day, but I'm coming under you. And so this Ethiopian apparently has a relationship with God, at least the God of the Old Testament. He's reading the prophet Isaiah. And so at minimum, he's a seeker, right? He's seeking God. He's trying to figure this whole thing out. And so he goes to Jerusalem. He goes to the temple. He also goes to do some official business on behalf of the queen of Ethiopia. And he stops at the temple. And while he's at the temple, he sees sacrifices going on. And so, you know, one of the things that he likely would have seen in the temple was he would see people taking lambs. They would go out and find an unblemished lamb, the most perfect lamb that they could find, and they would bring it and they would place it on the altar, and they would slit the throat of the lamb, and the blood source, the life source of the lamb, would flow out of it onto the ground. And while this is happening, the person bringing the sacrifice would lay their hands on the lamb and go, oh, wow, this is so overwhelming. This lamb is being eliminated when I'm the one that really should be eliminated. I'm the one who's been hard-hearted. I'm the one who's had inappropriateness and indiscretions in my life. I'm the one who deserves, you know, to be eliminated. But God, this reminds me. They literally put their hands on the lamb to be reminded this lamb is taking my place, taking the justice that I deserve. Now, Philip, Philip, he sees this guy, this Ethiopian eunuch, on the side of the road. He's stopped. He's reading. He's trying to process the scripture. And the Ethiopian's probably like, Philip, Philip, is that you, Philip? You guys remember that one? It's like old movie weekend right here. Yeah, Nacho Libre, that's Beverly Hills Cop, right? Little Eddie Murphy this morning. Yeah. So Philip runs over to him, and he says this. He says, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. So perhaps this eunuch sees a lamb being slain on the altar of the temple. And he's reading the book of Isaiah, and he's trying to process this. And he's reading the prophecy of the Messiah, the one who's coming, who's called the perfect Lamb of God. And he's seeing this sacrifice take place. And Philip says to him, hey, do you understand this? Are you getting what's going on right here? And he says, how can I? How can I understand this unless somebody guides me in it? And so Philip goes into explaining to him what's going on right here. And basically, he says, hey, there's something really profound that God is doing in the world. Something very profound and powerful, and it is something you can be involved in. And so here's what he says next. It says, the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask, does this prophet say this about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? So Jesus is one of the people in the New Testament who is baptized. All right, his baptism was a little bit different than you know, the rest of us, but nonetheless, he was baptized. And he sees his cousin, John the Baptist, that's how John gets his name, John the Baptizer. He's baptizing people in the Jordan River. And Jesus begins to approach John. And when John sees Jesus coming toward him to be baptized, John all of a sudden, to the large crowd, says, whoa, 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 whoa. Hang on. He says, look, behold, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who comes to take away, to lift up and carry away. The Son of God who comes to lift up and carry away the sins of the world. See, Jesus, in this moment, is the ultimate Lamb. He's the last Lamb. All right, just as people would bring unblemished lambs and place them on the altar and put their hands on to remind them of how gracious God is because he's eliminating that lamb instead of themselves, Jesus is the ultimate lamb. He's the last sacrifice. He's the perfect lamb who never sinned. He's the perfect lamb who had no blemishes. And he goes on this altar. He gets laid on an altar that looks like a cross. And he goes to the cross, and he takes lashes, and he takes nails, and his life source bleeds out of him. And he does this. And takes all this pain so that you and I don't have to. So this, Philip says, this is why it's good news. He says it's good news that, you know, you don't have to impress God with your morality anymore. Thank God. I mean, I could never do that. He says it's good news. He says it's good news that no matter what you did last night, you don't have to, like, literally show up in church the next morning to pay pittance to a God in order to get back in his good graces. He says if you have a relationship with him, his grace, the Lamb of God covers your sin. He says it's good news that you can have an awful life, a difficult life, a rebellious life that's constantly come against the grain of God, against the character of who God is. And the good news is you don't have to come back in the next life and try to work yourself up in some other life form back into the good graces of God. That's good news. He says it's good news that regardless of what you've done, where you've been, or how far you've been away, that there's a Heavenly Father who longs to be in relationship with you. And the way you get back to him, the way you enter relationship with him is through his son, Jesus. When Jesus stretched out his arms on the cross, he was the lamb on an altar that shed his life source. And as John the Baptist said, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away, to lift up and carry away the sins of the world. And so Philip is explaining this to the eunuch. And the eunuch's like, oh my word, oh my gosh, here's water right here. Why wouldn't I go and get in this water right now? What's preventing me from getting in this water? I mean, this is his response. See, One of the most brave things I ever did in my life, and especially in my younger life, was the day I got baptized. I was like 14, 15 at the time. I had all the reasons not to. I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor. Most people thought I'd already become a Christian. Most people thought I'd already been baptized. And so, I was like this kid that, I don't know why, but other parents wanted their kids to be like me. And I'm like, man, if you only knew me, you wouldn't want to be like me. But see, they thought I was all good. So people thought I'd already done it. And so when I my whole life with God is a story of resistance. All right, God would call me to do something I resist still to this day. When I feel like God nudges me, I'm usually resistant, and I have to overcome that resistance. And so, I received Jesus around the age of 13 or 14, but I'm like, I don't need to be baptized. People already thought I've been baptized. I've grown up in the church my whole life. And besides that, I don't like to be in front of people. I used to get scared to death. My heart would be beating out of my chest if I knew I was going to do this today. And then, I had things like, I don't want to get emotional in front of people. I mean, what if I get emotional when I'm in there? What if I show a sign of weakness while I'm in there? And then, probably the bigger issue for me was I wondered, if I get baptized, can I really be faithful to follow Jesus the way that I feel like I should? And I was like, what if I get baptized on a Sunday and on Monday, man, I just totally blow it? What if I can't hold up to what I commit? And I'm like, man, thank God for Peter, right? That's why I love Peter. I mean, Peter's always proclaiming things, and he doesn't always fully hit it, but you know what? Jesus champions him for saying, hey, be aggressive, Peter. Thanks for being aggressive. And so, as I thought about it more, I remember, even at that point in my life, I thought, the real reason I didn't want to do it? It was because I was being a weenie boy. That's why. I wasn't brave enough. All right, I wasn't operating bravely. Every now and then somebody will say to me, they'll say, hey, could we just do like a private little like baptism, personal private baptism moment for me? And I'm like, no, we don't do that. I mean, we've done it like twice, I think. We've done it twice where there were some major logistical issues with someone physically being able to get into that tub in this setting. And so we've done a private one. But for the most part, Jesus doesn't do private baptisms. I mean, nowhere in the Bible do we see anything private with baptism. Nowhere. See, here's a guy, an Ethiopian eunuch, a high, powerful official who is on a business trip. He's gone to the temple while he's on business. This is not even on his radar. He's in his chariot. He's just reading, passing a little time. He's in kind of a seeker mode, and he sees this water on the side of the road, and he says, hey, why not right now? Why not right now? I mean, he doesn't say, hey, if we see a little grove of trees with a little pond, do you think we could pull over and I could go behind the trees so nobody sees me? And it's like, are you going to take a pee or are you going to get baptized? I mean, why? No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. See, one of the key things with baptism is it outs you. When you're baptized, you out yourself. Just as Jesus, went into the grave, he was laid in the grave after his life source had flowed out of him. He was laid in the grave, a stone was put over it. So you and I, when we are baptized, we say, I'm dying to myself. We're symbolizing a physical dying, a spiritual dying. And just as Jesus was raised back to new life 3 days later, when we come out of that water, it's a symbol. There's a newness that's happened. Maybe not in that moment. Maybe I've already started my relationship with Jesus, but I'm being obedient to express it. Hey, I'm with God and he's with me. See, when we do this, it's kind of something saying, hey, I'm marking this moment. When I was 15, I was convicted to do this. And I just had to wrestle with, do I want to keep my kind of public level of persona of whatever everybody thought about me, whatever that was at 15, I don't know. Thought everybody thought highly of me, I guess. Do I want to keep that on display? Do I want to display any weakness? I mean, if I get baptized, are people going to think, man, I'm struggling? Or I can be brave and I can err on the side of spiritual aggressiveness. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to err on the side of spiritual aggressiveness. And that's what I want to ask you to do as well. I want to ask you to err on the side of spiritual aggression today. See, there's way too many people who err on the side of spiritual conservancy. I mean, we always err on the side of, oh, it's got to be safe. I mean, I don't want to do anything that steps out of my comfort zone. I don't want to do anything that causes me to do something that I've not experienced before. And that's not the way it should be. So I got a phone call a couple years ago from one of my good friends, a guy by the name of Scott McDonald. He's on our board here at Crosspoint. He's one of our governance board members, and he's an external board member. He attends another church, lives in another state, but he has a lot to bring to our governance process. And so I got a call from him one Monday morning, and he just said, "Hey, Kurt, man, we had this phenomenal baptism experience at our church yesterday." And he was telling me about it, and I'm like, "Man, it's awesome." He knows I love baptism weekends. He loves that I, you know, he just knows I love the life change they exhibit. I mean, just all the things that are with baptism. And he's like, went on and on. I'm like, "Scott, that's so cool." And he keeps going on and on. I'm like, "Man, that's awesome, Scott." I'm like, "Dude, why does he keep talking about this?" And then it hit me. I said, Scott, were you baptized yesterday?" There's a long pause. He said very quietly, "I was." I said, "Dude, I thought you were baptized like years ago. You've been doing ministry." He's a business guy, corporate guy, but I'm like, "You've been involved in ministry, lay ministry." He's been training ministry leaders and pastors all over the world. He worked for Equip, John Maxwell's Equip, who goes out and trains ministry leaders in far distant lands and other languages. And yet, he got to the place where he realized, "I've never been baptized. My parents baptized me, christened me as an infant." He was thankful for that. But he said, "I've never personally made the decision after I've personally began a relationship with Christ to say, 'Jesus, I want to express that I'm in. I want to cement this moment and say, I'm in with you.'" See, every person that God uses greatly is brave. Every single one. And if you want to be used greatly by God, you've got to be brave. And that includes the normal, ordinary steps of obedience, something as simple as stepping into a water tub and getting baptized. And we're going to have the opportunity to do that, like, right now. And before we do that, I want to show you a story of a guy that got baptized in our first service today, and him talking about how every time God has put something in front of him that stretches his comfort, he's decided as a part of his journey, "I'm taking it." And it's led him to actually get into the tub. Take a look at Corey's story.
So 2015, when we entered the Brave Journey, I was thinking that I wanted to take a big step. You know, when I heard the whole idea of getting out of the boat and being brave, and you know, we heard examples of people, you know, starting their own businesses and changing careers or working on something, whether there's an addiction or something like that. I was all in. I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do that I'm going to take this huge step? And I just realized through that processing, through the, you know, the Brave app and you know, talking with my wife, I was in a good spot with family and my marriage, and I was in a good spot with my career. And I realized, I was struggling with it and trying to figure out something tangible. We were in Sheridan at this antique shop, and we were walking through it. And I was trying to really digging in to figure out what I'm going to do. And I saw the sign in one of the shops, and it said, "Pray more, worry less." And I showed my wife, Debbie, and she's like, "That's you." And I said, "That you're right, that's me." And so I realized that before I decide I can take these big steps or really to prepare myself as I move forward, I need to really work on my relationship with God and really build on faith. Because I've always kind of, even though I've challenged myself, over time, I've always had this fear and anxiety, and it just takes so much time and energy out of me. On the outside, a lot of people don't realize that, but it's exhausting, and I typically can work through it, but I wanted to get to a place where I don't have that anymore. But I wanted to get to a place where I know that God's gonna be there. If I can't control something, I know He's gonna be there with me, He's gonna be walking with me, and everything's gonna be okay. I'm gonna pray more, worry less, and that was my heading in 2015. When my wife and I brought our family to Cross Point 2.5 years ago, that was step. That was a step, and we jumped in, and within a few months we were volunteering, and I joined a men's group, and Debbie joined a women's group, and so I saw that as another step. The first brave journey was a step. Then as I got into this one, I was really glad where we did it again as a church, because it was an opportunity for me to continue down this path. My heading is more of, any time that I see an opportunity that puts me out of my comfort zone, I need to take that step because that's the only way I'm going to grow. You know, and I can just feel the strength of God when I'm doing that. And I can see it in my family. It's powerful. And these challenges that I've had to take through the journey that I've been on, they're not, you know, they weren't big challenges, but to me they were. And I could just see my growth. And I can just feel it right now. I was baptized as a baby, and yeah, of course I don't remember that, but I know I was, and I'm thankful that my parents did that for me. And over the last couple years, I thought about baptism, but I always thought, well, I was already baptized. As I've gone through this journey and this walk with Christ, it finally came all together in the last few weeks that I need to do this, and I want to do it. I think just to show that you know that you know God is my Savior, and I can't, the things that I can't control, I know that He's got my back and He's going to be walking with me all the time, and I know He has been. But I just feel like these last several weeks, I've really felt the growth, and I can feel that relationship.
How cool is that? You know, Corey said something in there that struck me, and I want to share something on it real quick. Because this is one of the things that kind of trips us up. He said, you know, my marriage was in a good place. My kids were in a good place. My relationship with my work, my career was in a good place. You know, sometimes those of us that have not been baptized, we get tripped up because we put on baptism something that's not supposed to be on it. Meaning we see this Ethiopian eunuch. We see this eunuch in Acts 8. And he's not like saying, I'm going to become some spiritual superhero. I mean, some people think the only way that somebody can be baptized or the reason you should be baptized is if you're ready to live like a spiritual superhero. Like you're going to be living like in a van down by the river, naked in Noblesville or something. I don't know, you know. And anything short of that, I don't qualify. I'm not spiritual enough. Well, that's not what is going on with the eunuch, right? I mean, or sometimes we're like, man, I'm going to do something real hardcore, so I need to get baptized. I'm doing hardcore stuff, man. I'm never going to purchase anything new the rest of my life. I'm going to shop at Goodwill forever. You know, give the difference. Well, that's not what the eunuch's doing either, right? Or maybe we say, well, baptism's for people who are just like at rock bottom, right? It's just, they hit rock bottom, man. I'm not necessarily at rock bottom, and I'm not like emotionally gushing all over the place. Well, the eunuch's not gushing all over the place. He's not necessarily, he's actually in a really good place. Or if I'm just feeling it, man, if I'm feeling it one day and I feel like God's power is coursing through my veins, you know, no, I mean, this dude has some element of conviction. I mean, the Ethiopian eunuch, we see him saying, why not right now? Why not right now? But he's not all emotional about it. See, there may be some of us here today who are at the end of our rope and we're going to get baptized today because we're just there. There may be a few of us that are like, man, I need a hardcore change, and this is defining that for me. And or maybe some of us are just having amazingly, emotionally high experiences right now. We're just really in tune with God, and that's awesome if you're there and you say, hey, I just want to be baptized in the midst of that. Awesome, things are happening. Awesome. But listen, those are not precursors to baptism, right? Or anybody who should be baptized. It's actually a very simple thing. Here's the question. Has He been your lamb? All right, has He been the one that you've put your hands on and said, I'm turning to You, Jesus, to take away my sin? Has He been the one? Have you been turning your life over to Him? And He's been taking all of what you deserve. And you just want to tell Him. It's like getting married. You know, you don't get married in front of nobody, right? You want people to see it. You're like, hey, I want people to know I'm united right here. And maybe today is your way to just tell Jesus and say, I want to submit right now to today, Jesus, that I'm in. I'm going to be brave. Maybe you've never done this, but you've started a relationship with Jesus. Say, I want to be brave. I'm going to submit it today. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, You are good, God. You are good. And I just pray that Your goodness would come on, in a unique way on all of those who are about to get wet this morning. God, I pray that you just give us a spiritual sobriety this morning, that you would rekindle our faith, God. For some of us who have been baptized before or taken this step today, we don't remember our baptism. It was as a child. It was something that our parents chose. And yet today we're saying, I've chosen to be in relationship with Jesus. And I just want to cement that in with you today, Jesus. God, I pray for those of us who are not ready to be baptized today, or maybe we're not ready to receive you. I pray that there would be something fresh kindled inside of us this morning. God, I just believe you're laying some powerful stuff right now, some framework, some groundwork for something powerful to take place in some of our lives today. And I just pray that those things happen according to your power and your character, Jesus. Amen. All right, here's the deal. Are we ready? All right, so, you know, you may have come in here today and you didn't plan to be baptized. You maybe didn't even plan to be at Crosspoint today. That's what somebody told me first. I didn't plan to be here today. And yet, we're ready for you. Just so you know, we're ready. And I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. And when I ask you to stand, if you want to be baptized, whether you came prepared or not, you can exit your row. Just walk out of your row, exit to the back doors of the venue. Our baptism team will meet you there. They'll walk you through and explain the entire process for you. All right? And maybe you've never received Christ before. All right? Maybe you're saying, you know, you're thinking, I need that, Kurt. I need that lamb. I've done so much inappropriate stuff. I've done so much, you know, had so much indiscretions in my life, so much sin. I need that lamb. Great. We'll help you take that step to receive Jesus today. Our team is equipped and prepared to help you make that step today and to celebrate it, to cement it with baptism today. Right? Some of you might be thinking, well, Kurt, I didn't bring any clothes. I didn't bring the right clothes. I can't. This is all I got. Hey, we got you covered. All right, we've done this like hundreds of times, just so you know. All right, we came prepared. You might be thinking, well, listen, what about my personal effects? Where will they go? We've got bags. We've got bags all over the place around here, all right? We'll get you a bag, and, you know, we've got you covered. We've done this so many times. We came prepared, even if you did not. And you might be thinking, well, Kurt, what about my hair? Any product? We've got that too, all right? I mean, you can't walk out of here looking bad. So we've got undergarments that are brand new, clothing, shirts, everything. We are prepared for you. And so as we stand in just a moment, if you feel like God said, hey, this is your day to cement your relationship with Jesus because you've never taken the step of baptism, I want you to get ready for something that could personally and profoundly create change in you. So we're going to do that here in just a moment. And if you're telling yourself, God, I want to cement that in, let's go ahead and stand. And as we stand, if you're ready to get baptized today, you can exit to the back. You can head to the doors. Our team will take it from there. And anytime over the rest of the service, we're going to have about 20 minutes of singing, and we'll stay here until we're done. And so let's get this done today. Here we go.